Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And we hope that you all have enjoyed the first full week of falling back into time with those little shortened days in the evenings that are going to come right quick before you know it. But do not worry. We're here today to talk to you about some November gardening tips so you can still be active in your garden.
Right, and the sun's just shining when you get out of bed now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But not so much in the evening. That's going to come out really quick. So, Jan, I know that you're out there looking at the garden centers and looking at that inventory for the fall. And there's still some time to plant some nice, cool weather annuals.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And, you know, keep that pop of color going in your, you know, especially if you have any containers that are out on your front porch and stuff. It's a great time for mums. Pansies are amazing. You can, you know, it can be 12 degrees below zero. And not that it gets that cold here, but they still give that pop of color. Snapdragons are wonderful. Dianthus and the flowering kale.
Mm-hmm.
It is so fun. So do check your, and the inventories in the nurseries are better right now. And you can, you know, be sure and look those over. We often mention about selecting good, healthy plants. You know, don't be afraid to pick one up. Look under the leaves. Make sure you're not bringing home any hitchhikers that are going to...
In the form of insects or bugs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No bugs that you want to bring home. And I've even said to people at the garden centers before, you might want to check this one because we've got some critters in here that I don't think you want to be selling to people.
Right.
And so those kinds of things are just little points to think about. And so give that pop of color to your garden, because some things are starting to get brown. Your grass is starting to go dormant, and you know you want to keep it mown and stuff. Post emergence are good to put down, and you should have already done that actually by now. But there's always opportunities in the fall and winter to make your garden, you know, look beautiful.
Right.
And but it's also a time to start protecting things.
Right. Exactly.
I've been working on that for the last few weeks. I have a couple of greenhouses, and it's time.
Don't wait for those meteorologists to tell you on the evening news to protect your plants and your people and your pipes. By that time, it's a little too late. You don't want to go out there and scramble and try to get all of those plants, rounded up underneath your patio. And I know that you're a container gardening enthusiast.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about some tips that we can have and we can share with some
folks.
Well,
I have purchased some portable greenhouses before that are less than $100, and they last for 3 or 4 years. You can take them down, put them together, save the directions so that you know what pipe goes where. And those are great for protecting your container plants. But if you don't want to spend that money, garage sales, the Goodwill stores, those kinds of places, buy some sheets, some old sheets. And I always recommend doing the light colored ones. And also, the sheets will let things breathe. I do not put plastic over my plants.
Right.
Because they, even though it gets cold, the sun is still shining and it tends to burn them. And I just don't do that. There's also a number of plant covers that are available commercially. And
they're called frost blankets,
Frost blankets, yes.
So they're kind of sold by the thickness of the fabric as well. And that thickness translates into that temperature.
Exactly. And the plants can still breathe, which of course they need to do. And things still need to be watered, certainly, even if they're in that greenhouse. Not as much as you would. I mean, with our cooler temperatures these last few weeks, I'm sure we've all noticed that we've had some nice rains and so forth. So things have really perked up after our miserably hot summer. But you still have to protect those things. And, you know, our average being the key word here, frost date is November the 15th in El Paso. Doesn't always happen then, but a couple of weeks ago, it got quite chilly and everybody was going, oh my goodness, I got to get my park and my sheepskin coat out here. And you know, it was in the 40s. And people from the east are going, you people are nuts.
Exactly.
It's not cold.
Exactly.
But for us it is. And so we have to play by our El Paso rules and what that weather is going to do.
And if you're able to move some of your plants to an area, in your patio, you want to make sure you select a nice protected area as well. Because sometimes when those winds kick up too, they can do
They can do a number on things.
Right.
And they, if those little greenhouses that are portable, sometimes they're lightweight. So you want to make sure that you anchor them well, too. And stop and realize that if you have a patio, you've got concrete patio or tile or whatever, and a brick wall. We have our rock walls. And those hold the residual heat, which is a good thing in the wintertime.
Right.
Courtyards are really good. They have a little bit more protection. And you can throw those sheets on the plants and then pull them off. And my backyard looks like a tent city in the winter because I have a big bathtub that obviously cannot be moved.
Right.
And I throw a parachute, an old parachute, over that one.
Right.
And it protects.
Talk about lightweight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's been great. And my husband picked it up at a garage sale somewhere. So, you know, those things are available without, you know, spending an inordinate amount of money. You can buy, you know, really nice greenhouses not that aren't heated and cooled, but still that's a nice protective area for your plants, and especially the bigger ones. And I bring several inside, both into my house and into my garage.
Mm-hmm.
But just like we harden plants off when we go outside with them, we need to, you know, go gradually to the inside and make sure that when we are inside that we're watering properly, you know, the dry heat from our heaters and all that. That affects all of our plants.
So most definitely.
Those are things to think about.
One of the great things about you know, being in this position is I get to visit with a lot of gardeners in their home gardens as well. And we have a master gardener here locally. I'm not going to name her and give her away. But she has a really interesting technique that she uses. She has a large mulberry tree in her backyard. Mm-hmm. And she grows under this really heavy shade that this mulberry tree is giving. She grows spider plants.
Oh, wow.
All underneath her mulberries.
In the ground. Oh,
okay.
My goodness.
But get this. The really neat thing about that is, that, first of all, the spider plants, they thrive in the shade. Because you put them out in El Paso, it's not going to work for them. But then get this. When her mulberry leaves fall from the tree, they fall right onto the spider plant bed.
And mulch them.
And they mulch. And they stay mulched all winter long.
And that's the best protection. That's Mother Nature's protection.
That's the insulation that she's providing. She can delay her leaf litter pickup.
Isn't that great?
Until later on. But it's really neat because there's a lot of creative things that you're able to do that are going to help your garden in general. And I know that sometimes picking up those leaves is a chore, but if you can use it as a mulch and kind of keep it in areas, it's really going to be able to help your container plants as well as your in-ground plants that may be a little sensitive.
Well, I always think of, I have a lot of lantana, and it looks messy in the winter, but I don't cut those back.
Because that's
a blanket that, and I have one that's 16 years old, and it comes back year after year after year, even in with the freeze of 11, it survived that. And that brings another question that, explain to the folks for me, Denise, about the importance of watering when a freeze is predicted out in our flower beds and we're encouraged to go out and water that evening.
Yeah,
and how that insulates the root balls.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of counterintuitive. You think, I don't want to add water to something that may be, you know, we may have freezing air temperatures,
exactly,
if you will. But really what's happening in the plant itself is that if you hydrate the plant, meaning you're hydrating the roots as well as those cells above the ground as well, they're able to retain what's called the Turker pressure of the plant cells, and they're more willing to withstand cold temperatures. So if they're don't have enough water, they're more susceptible to collapse. And that's why sometimes you see when plants get freeze damage, they almost look like they're a soggy mess.
Yes.
Like the leaves just kind of fall over amongst themselves, and it's kind of goopy. Well, the highly scientific word is goopy.
There you go.
to be able to get that. But that's really what has happened, is that those cells have collapsed in the cell structure itself of the plant. So, yes, you definitely want to make sure that you have access to water to get your plants watered. You know, not as frequently as you will during the active growing season,
surely.
But you want to make sure that you're insulating that by giving them a nice drink of water to hydrate those root cells coming up. So that's,
and I think that's because I remember the first time I thought, now wait, that makes no sense to me.
Right.
And I think the other thing is, like Denise said, if the plant gets goopy, or, you know, all the leaves fall off. And you go, oh, it's dead. Right. Don't worry so much about what's going on top
right.
during the winter, on, you know, above the ground. Mm-hmm. It's what's going on underneath, you know, keeping that root ball warm.
Right.
In containers, you can wrap those containers in newspaper, in bubble wrap mm-hmm. to help, you know, keep the heat in there. And right. especially if you've got clay pots, that's very, very helpful. And I think it's important, too, to mention that, you know, we were talking about irrigation. I've been tapering off on my irrigation, mm-hmm. and I'll get down to, you know, once a month for my grass and stuff. Don't shut it off completely all at one time,
right.
but, you know, do take a look at your irrigation needs.
Right.
And if you've got hoses that you're not using, be sure that you get the water out of them and store them for the winter so that when you get them out, they're not all cracked and frozen and you have to go out and invest in more. So those
right.
are things to think about, your pipes, all of that kind
all that
of stuff.
All that kind of stuff. I see some folks, you know, will kind of, you know, wrap, you know, a combination of towels and duct tape around their hose bibs, the faucet bibs, but then how are you going to access that? So I really like, you know, I really do like some of the commercial stuff that's available. Mm-hmm. It's almost that quick release
yes.
styrofoam type material.
It is. It's like a little cap on the top of
it. It is a little cap. So it's easy access to be able to get on mm-hmm. and off. And really it's being able to go out there and make sure that you know where your lines are.
Sure.
And you want to flush things out. Mm-hmm. If you want to turn off your irrigation system and just kind of, you know, give a little light sprinkle onto your dormant Bermuda grass.
Yes.
You can certainly do that with your hose as well and not necessarily
right.
have to run the entire sprinkler system
sure.
as well. And I think, you know, it's really important to note that, you know, our ground will not freeze as it will in other parts of the country.
Really?
But anything that's off to the surface there too mm-hmm. has a ability to form ice and to expand, and
sure.
that's where we have issues with our pipes breaking as
and
well.
One of the things I've done here lately is, you know, number of different plants that I have, whether they're succulents or ornamental, I'll go on and Google, try to find out what their cold tolerance is. You know, what is the basic temperature? And maybe it says 25 degrees. Well, just because something hits, you know, our temperatures hit 25 degrees doesn't mean that your plant's going to freeze and die. You know, it has to. That was what happened in 2011, is that the temperatures were down for over 72 hours. And that's where the damage came from. You know, it may be down for a couple hours. And so more than likely, you're not going to suffer that much damage. But that's why you protect
right.
for that just-in-case piece of it may be dead for
it's
a few days.
Very true. And even though we may hit a freezing temperature before November 15th freeze date, that November 15th is that killing frost. That means
yes.
that temperature is going to go low for an extended
yes.
amount of time. That
right.
full night is going to be mm-hmm. pretty frozen. So that's really interesting to be able to look at. And even though it may be getting chilly out there, you want to make sure, we want to remind you, don't be in a hurry to prune those woody plants.
Yes.
Late
yes.
December through early February is usually the best time to prune trees and shrubs. Also, you want to make sure that evergreen trees and shrubs in our landscape are also frequently suffer from a lack of moisture during the dry months of winter. So that's why we try to give you some
mm-hmm.
irrigation tips to make sure that you're having your water accessible and being out there and taking
Surely.
A look at your garden. And we know that you're kind of maybe quieting down on your garden. We hope that you got your fall vegetable garden planted in time. But if you all have any questions, we're always mm-hmm. available on the Master Gardener Ask Us tab at txmg.org. Right. And we sure ran through our November tips, but we want to thank you for listening today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.